In telling the history of humankind through the relatively new lens of genetics and genomic sequencing, Adam Rutherford offers an original, compelling explanation of a complex science. Rutherford's bona fides as a geneticist and science writer provide great credibility. This, combined with his balanced, hype-free exploration of what genes and DNA reveal about humans, past, present, and future, should delight everyone, whether you're a science newbie or an experienced genetics researcher. Some 107 billion modern humans have lived on Earth over the past 300,000 years. Most share a near identical set of DNA, yet each person is unique. You are nearly identical to every other person, living or dead, and are unique in the history of the universe. 97% of your genome, 23 chromosomes and 3 billion letters of DNA, comes from a random shuffling of your parents' genomes, and theirs from a shuffling of their parents. This recombination means that no one has had, or will ever have, your exact genome. Even the DNA in identical twins differs by the time they are born. You receive matching chromosomes from your parents to ensure redundancy. If you get a bad gene from your mother, the matching gene from your father overrides it. In many royal families, for example, the European Habsburgs, centuries of inbreeding reduced this redundancy. Both sets of genes became flawed. Toward the end of their 20-year dynasty, half the Habsburg children died by age 10, a rate many times that of their contemporaries. Those who survived childhood, like King Charles II of Spain, suffered physical and mental ailments, including the inability to reproduce, which ended the dynasty. Your and everyone else's genes tell a story that traces back to the beginning of humanity. Bones of the long dead, including Neanderthals and kings, reveal truths about human history, race, and culture that refute much previous thought. By possessing the greatest data set ever known to society, the human genome, geneticists have, in fact, become historians. Advanced techniques and tools for extracting DNA allow scientists to sequence the genomes of people and animals that died tens of thousands of years ago, allowing researchers to uncover facts about culture and lineage that scientists could only guess at a decade or so ago. You inherit 97% of your DNA from your parents randomly, while some DNA passes on to you intact from your ancestors. Mothers contribute an exact copy of their mitochondrial DNA, mtDNA, to their children. Boys inherit the intact Y chromosome from their fathers. This allows scientists to trace lineages back centuries, even millennia. Scientists know, for example, that Homo sapiens and Neanderthal DNA separated from each other hundreds of thousands of years ago. Yet virtually all Europeans and many Asians have significant Neanderthal DNA in their genome. The same holds for the human subspecies Homo Denisova and Homo floresiensis. DNA forensics reveals that these humans didn't go extinct, as science thought for decades. Instead, they merged. Studies of the origins of the plagues that killed tens of millions across Europe in the 6th to 9th centuries borrow DNA extracted from semi-preserved corpses. DNA analysis proves that the disease came from the East along the Silk Road and not from North Africa, as historians thought for centuries. When the plague hit Britain again in the 14th century, it killed a third of the population. Those victims' DNA reveals plague origins in China. These investigations speak to evolution. New antibodies to the plague began appearing in the genomes of Europeans only in the past 1,500 years or so, since the first plague struck. This adaptation, along with major cultural responses, means that although plague bacteria still flourish in nature, they won't bother humanity again. Historians and archaeologists know that Vikings visited Newfoundland around 1000 AD, followed by Columbus reaching the Caribbean 500 years later, though the first explorers had arrived in the Americas tens of thousands of years before that, via the Beringia land bridge that connected Siberia and Alaska. Carbon dating and other techniques established that a group of people crossed that bridge about 24,000 years ago. Genetics reveal who they were, where they came from, and when they came. Sampling of DNA from preserved teeth and bones suggests that descendants of these people populated North and South America over the next 12,000 years. Scientists know that just one group of people populated the Americas because DNA sequencing of native tribes from the north of Alaska to the ends of South America proved virtually identical, including adaptations that could have come only from a period of existence in the extreme north. DNA sequencing establishes that Native Americans, like their ancient Siberian counterparts, adapted to the cold and the local diet by evolving protective tissue and fat stores. Native Americans share so much DNA that, although genetic science can identify a Native American, it can't determine whether a person derives from a particular tribe. The human species moves around constantly. Where it goes, it mates. The differences between people's genetic makeup pale beside the similarities. Everyone shares virtually the same DNA. The DNA of the non-native population of the Americas, for example, shows far more mixing than the DNA of native inhabitants due to the mingling of European settlers, slaves, and subsequent waves of immigrants. If a DNA testing service claims the ability to tell you the precise village your ancestors came from 1,000 years ago, take it with a grain of salt. Over the past 10 centuries, your ancestors will have moved through thousands of villages, perhaps every village in the region or regions from which you hail. Your DNA won't tell you who you are. The web your ancestors wove makes you so similar to everyone else that what makes you seem unique. 2% Native American DNA, for example, exists in many millions of others. DNA testing services often fool the media into printing sensational things, like that a certain celebrity shares a lineage with Napoleon. The fact is that millions of people do. Your lineage crosses millions of others. Everyone on Earth, including the remotest of tribes in the Amazon jungle, probably shares at least one common ancestor going back only 3,600 years. If you're European, this span reduces to about 1,000 years for every other European. DNA sequencing helps track human movement through the ages and connects you to cousins you never knew. Like traditional genealogy, the DNA connection fades the further back you go. You can count kings and emperors among your ancestors, even if, genetically, their DNA has vanished from your genome. Since the 1970s, the sciences of genetics, blood types, proteins, and DNA have made clear that racial differences, essentially, don't exist. The field of genetics starts with Charles Darwin, who changed how people think of life on Earth. Darwin's work on evolution, adaptation, and natural selection inspired his second cousin, Francis Galton, to explore genetic traits in humans. Regrettably, Galton focused his work on differences among the races. Galton found the field of eugenics, which, in the 20th century, gave rise to forced sterilization policies across most of the United States and to genocide in Nazi Germany. Ironically, Galton's work in pioneering the field of biometrics, the data-based analysis and measurement of humans, along with techniques borrowed from Darwin and Gregor Mendel, proved, given everyone's common ancestors and near-identical genome, that racial differences don't exist. Differences among people of the same race usually exceed differences among people of different races. This is especially true among ethnic Africans. The vast majority of early humans stayed in Africa. Only a few traveled to populate the rest of the world. The diversity of the gene pool among those who stayed in place dwarfs that of the rest. Most visible differences between races confer no advantage. They prevail because traits pass on through reproduction. The resultant constant flux of people and the shuffling and reshuffling of genes renders racial classification meaningless in genetics or science. In 1992, one of the largest, costliest, and most essential scientific projects in history began, the mapping of the human genome. The Genome Project revealed that humans possess far fewer genes than previously thought, just 20,000. Primitive worms and a grain of rice have more. And incredibly, 85% of the human genome appears to do nothing and is, perhaps, simply left over from ancestors. The mapping project revealed almost impenetrable complexity. Genes and DNA, active and redundant, interact in an opaque dance such that only supercomputers can sort them out. Though everyone's DNA overlaps by 99.9%, the remaining 0.1% amounts to 3 million points of difference. The differences aid the work of genetic forensics by allowing scientists to compare people with certain diseases with those without those diseases. This lets researchers isolate genes influencing the disease. Despite huge gaps remaining in genetic knowledge, the mapping of the human genome was a success. Gene therapy hasn't cured any disease, but it has performed wonders in diagnosis and in gaining an understanding of how genes interact in pathologies. The human species, like all others, continues to change and evolve. Cultural history derived from nomadic hunting and gathering behaviors, as well as domestication and agriculture, offers evidence of human change and adaptation. Fair skin, blonde or red hair, and blue eyes have existed in northern Europeans for a relatively short 7,500 years. Dark skin, necessary for protection from the UV rays of the sun, wasn't an advantage in the cloudier northern climates. The adaptations among Africans who became Europeans didn't impair their ability to find mates and pass on their unique traits. Every species evolves continually. To evolve wings, for example, evolutionary pressure must propel each small mutation over a long time span. Each step toward flight must confer an advantage in the bearer, at least a sexual advantage. Humans will never evolve wings because there is no evolutionary pressure to do so. Species evolve due to mutations. Hundreds of billions of mutations exist across the living human genome, some harmful, some beneficial, most neutral. Mutations, random as they seem, fuel evolution. Environment, technology, and choices about how and where to live determine whether a mutation activates, survives, or becomes part of the standard genome. Genes influence traits and behaviors, but don't cause them. Your genetics don't determine your destiny. Genes that cause, for example, eye and hair color depend on other genes and the environment. The study of heritable changes in gene function that don't involve changes in DNA sequence is known as epigenetics. Your body uses atoms called methyls to turn your DNA on and off depending on external conditions like diet and weather. When, for example, a rat mother licks her babies, methyls turn off the stress receptor genes in her pups. In World War II Holland, extreme hunger caused methyls to activate DNA for fat storage in many victims. Some passed these effects to their children. Unless mutated by cancers, your DNA itself doesn't change throughout your life. Your children's DNA exists within you, predetermined and unchangeable. Your environment can change the expression of your genome. Genes' complex interaction with each other and the environment perplexes scientists. In the future, enormous data sets, perhaps the full sequence of every person's DNA, will enable further discoveries.